Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, Father, because you have imbued us with your strength and with your spirit, and you've prepared us. And we thank you, Father, because you said you no longer call us servants, but you call us friends. Because a servant does not know what his master does. But you say, I have told you everything. You've given us the whole plan. Because we are friends, we are sons, and we are a part of your army, and you have called us for this reason and for this purpose. Now, blessed Father, I thank you because we shall not lose sight of what it is you plan in this day in which we live, but we shall stand strong and accomplish it. For even so, Father, you trust us. You've trusted us to do it. And for this reason, we were born. Now, Father, we thank you. And I thank you for each and every person here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep that scripture up there. You may be seated, all of you. Keep that scripture up there. It says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I had from my Father, I have made known to you. Praise the Lord. Now, all things, that means all the plan, all the master plan, everything that he has had, that the Father is doing, he has made known to us. Now, you know, people lose sight of what God is doing when they don't understand that God has to do it through us. Amen? And we are a determining factor in everything that he does. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, religion teaches that God is supreme. He can do anything he wants. He cannot. Do you understand? He does not have such power on earth. Why? Because he vested that power in men. Okay? Now, Psalms 115 verse 16 says that the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Now, when he has given it to men, he does not take it back. So everything that happens on earth is a factor of what men have done on earth, not God, men. You understand? Now, when God gives, actually, even in creation, he says, let us make man and let him have dominion over the earth. Okay? So dominion on earth belongs to who? To man. Now, God can only have dominion in as much as man allows him to. You understand? So, when people don't understand that, they start asking all sorts of stupid questions. Why is there all this suffering? Why is there this and that? Who causes the suffering? God? Is there suffering in heaven? Why is there no suffering in heaven? Because it belongs to God. There, he's the master. That's why it is heaven. Okay? Now, on earth, we are the masters. So if it's disorganized, it's because of who? Of us. Not because of him. Praise the Lord. Now that you know that, I want to tell you something that is powerful, that is happening in our time, and that you have to understand where it comes from. Because some people do not have an idea of how God actually operates. So they have this thing of they are supposed to sit somewhere and God gets something done. And he is not going to, except through who? Through you. Now, we've been talking. Remember that time when last time when I came and told you that? When I came, I had been somewhere seeking the Lord, and I came and told you how he told me that it was time for wealth transfer and all those things. You remember that time? And he told me that you were ready. You remember, eh? Now, but how many years have people been talking about wealth transfer? When did you start hearing about it? Now, okay, There was the religious talk of wealth transfer, but then there was the real talk of wealth transfer. Talk of now it has started happening. Now it has started happening by people who hear from God, not people who are just talking things. You understand? Now it has started happening. Now it has started happening. Now the thing is, so some people say that, but where is it? Praise the Lord. Where is it? But you see, they don't understand one thing, that let me tell you, the scripture says in Galatians chapter 4 somewhere, that my little children for whom I labor until Christ is formed in you. Praise the Lord. Until Christ is what? Formed in you. Now, when you get born again, Christ is not immediately formed in you. Eh? In birth, and again, until Christ is formed in you. You receive Christ, but he's not yet formed in you. That's why, I mean, you still do so many of the things that, you know, you used to do and so on. It takes a while for Christ to be formed in you. And that while involves somebody laboring and telling you certain things, and you hear them and hear them and hear them until Christ is formed in you. Now, the fabric of God's movement on earth is the heart of men. And the heart of men has to be transformed for anything that God is doing to manifest on earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? This Christ has to be formed in you, where you listen, you seem to listen to the same things over and over again, and you do not realize what is happening in your life until you actually one day objectively look at yourself where you once were, not in terms of your pocket, but in terms of certain things that you talk about and that you believe are possible. You understand? Now, so God has a plan which started, let me tell you, let's say God calls one man, Abraham, and through Abraham forms a nation, okay? And through that nation, he tries to influence all the affairs of the earth through that one nation. But that nation is actually just, what should I call it? Like a sample space through whom influences. Now, that has always been the case, really. Now, in this end time, God has chosen a person, a nation, a people, but it has to follow after the same pattern. You understand? Do you understand? Now, that nation is Uganda. You understand? There is absolutely no doubt about it. That nation is Uganda. And he put in a grace that is supreme to any other grace in this world. Now, that grace speaks forth things seemingly over and over again, and seeming to say the same things over and over again. And then you wonder, we've been speaking about these things for so long, how come we have not yet witnessed them? But you don't understand that in the hearing of it, so many things are shifting in your mind. I'll give you an example. If I would ask any one of you the things you believed were possible 3 years ago, and then I ask you, what do you think is possible now? You would see you've made a lot of distance, but it might not yet have reflected in your bank account. But it has reflected in your capacity to believe, you understand? Because I listen to people. People sometimes come to office and what, and you listen to somebody's, what he was saying some time ago. Now, there's a gentleman who came and he had big dreams, which were apparently big, but in my eyes, they were very small, because I knew what he was capable of. But now when he talks, he's talking big, he's talking Africa, he's talking what, and nothing has changed in the outward. But you see, don't look at the outward. Your heart, Christ is being formed in you. Now, if you had received those things back, then you would have not the capacity to contain them. But God is enlarging your capacity. You understand? Enlarging your capacity by just listening to the same things over and over again. And now he cannot do them until your capacity has been enlarged. It is not his ability that is lacking. It is Christ being formed. Christ meaning the whole message of, you know, the whole end game plan. You understand? Being formed in you. Now, each and every one of you, I am absolutely certain, if I asked you what you could genuinely believe 3 years ago and what you can see as a possibility now, I know that for myself. There are things which If you had told me 3 years ago, I would say you've got to be kidding me. But now they look like chicken feet. Like, they look so simple. Now you might say, you're still driving the same car, you're still doing what? But no, so much has shifted in those 3 years. You understand? Eh? Now, for God to make it happen is like this. The defining factor is, can you actually build your heart through the words that He has spoken to you by, you know, the people who He puts over you, over and over again, so that you start seeing it as, actually I can do it. And so now, that is the key thing. Of course, not everybody has to get there. Some people do not get there. The example is Israel. Now, the children of Israel, God first shows them what He can do in a state of laziness. But that is never, has never been God's plan. You have to be involved in what is being done. Amen? He does not just make things happen. You have to have a serious involvement in what He is doing by, first of all, enlarging your capacity to contain what plan God has for you. Then when you do that and you get to a state, now when your capacity inwardly is being enlarged, it does not outwardly, people look at you and say, what has changed? And the truth is, nothing outwardly, but a lot has changed. So much has changed, and you have made a lot of distance in that time. Do you understand? Now you may think you've not, but you've actually covered miles in that time, and you are somewhere in a completely different place now. Now your capacity is enlarged. Now God can fill something which is a vacuum which has been created by you through faith, through actually seeing things as the way they are. And now, you, if you want to know what I'm talking about, you go and talk to somebody, let's say whom you used to fellowship with 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, and who are still in that place, and tell them the things that you actually see as possible. And look at how they will look at you. Then you know how much distance you've covered. You understand? It has to first... Now this is what happened with the children of Israel. Now the children of Israel... So God comes, destroys Pharaoh because they had been slaves, and He gives them time to adjust themselves to the fact that now... So He even tells them, go and ask for items of silver and gold from your former masters. Now, why does He have to do that? So that they do not see themselves. You know, when you've been a slave for all that long, you're looking at an Egyptian as, you know, untouchable, as a master. Then He says, go and ask them. And then you go and you see the Egyptians are scared of you. They bring things out from closets and give them to you and say, please leave. What more do you want? That I also want that cloth. I also want this one. I also want this one. Is that all? Now, please go. Now, so that... The idea is for God to transform your mindset, their mindset, from that of a slave to now somebody who is serious. You see, now you're beginning to see yourself seriously. Now, God could have devised another way of them getting that, but He wants them to get it from their former masters, so that the attitude of slavery is removed from their mind. Praise the Lord. Now, after that happens, and they go. Now, He gives them their time to see. Now, the scripture says, the Lord said that, I will not take them straight to Canaan because they will be immature. They will be useless. You understand? That's why you have to take sometimes your children through some hardship, because otherwise they become what? Immature. They never mature. Praise the Lord. So now, you go, He says now, they will go and see war, and then they will run away, and then their mind is still a bit tied into Egypt. So He says, what I will do, let me take them a long route. Praise the Lord. Take them a what? To show them certain things, so that when they get to the place, they are ready to receive it. In other words, that whole time is to enlarge their capacity. Imagine somebody who has been a slave, wake up, make bricks, do this, do that. Now you are supposed to be a nation above every nation. Now you see, that doesn't happen overnight. You understand? He says, I want to make you a nation above every nation. So that, you know, all those things He says, that all your enemies come against you in one way, in one line, they split in seven. You lend, you do not borrow. You do what? He says, to show, so that through you, I can show the nations of the world that I am God. You understand? But you see, you don't just get a slave who has been a slave for so many years, born a slave all throughout, and then say, now you're the king. Praise the Lord. Now I see some people, even the way they respond to Bazungu. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and see the way the waiter will respond when a Mzungu comes and then when you come? And in most cases, the Mzungu is even broke. But you see, there is a mentality which, and it is so ingrained in, you understand, to the point that you find somebody who studies here, gets, graduates, even gets a master's, and then you find him abroad doing a job which a complete illiterate can do. That is the mentality of what? Slavery. So don't think it's only the Egyptians. It's not only the Egyptians. You see somebody, by the way, I refuse those things. I for some reason, when I look at, I would converse even in my travels, and you engage with Bazungu, and you see the shallowness in them. And for me, you the earth, once I judge you on that basis, that's it. I don't want to hear anything you have to say. You have to be making sense more than me for me to listen. But our education system, our word, everything is geared towards the slavery. Then God says that no, everything end time is going to base in Africa. Now, if you want proof of it, you look at the demonic world. Everybody, the Beyonce, who everybody are talking about, Egypt, what, African, what, all the, even now, top musicians having to do collabs with Africans, what, spiritual things, you can see them from the other side. So those of you who are into, that hip-hop world, everybody, Africa. And now they are not coming to Africa as a, of course, there are those who are still caught up in that stupid mentality of we are going to feed the people with washapo and what. But the people who are actually spiritual, they are coming here to get something because they see there is something here. And now, God says, end time, it's going to start with Africa. But then also God, because of wanting to mess up people, which he likes very much. I remember the movie Queen of Katwe. They were saying that that she called Mutes, that to be born a black is a disadvantage. That's according to them. To be born an African is even a bigger disadvantage. Then to be born in Uganda, then to be born in Katwe, Now, then God says, okay, since Uganda is apparently the least of the least, I will use what? Uganda. Now, I want you to see that is, God has always done that. That is his, he will never go for the standards that have been set. Never. He will always go for the one who is despised. That's why even the Bible says that Jesus rejoiced and said, man, I thank you, Father, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them to the babes. Then he says, even so, it was good to you. Because he says, okay, so, and that is the whole principle of this in the scripture, of the stone which the builders what? Rejected. The thing which people see very, I'll give you an example. This Pentecostal movement, the speaking in tongues, after the days of the apostles, until about 1903, nobody ever spoke in tongues. Tongues died completely in all those years. Now, there was a guy who first spoke in tongues, I think about 1902 or 3, and I think he was called Charles Parham or something like that. Now, Charles Parham was a Mzungu, Now, that time in America, they had just abolished slave trade and so on. So now, this man was teaching people how to speak in tongues. He had had the experience, the first man in about 1800 years, to speak in tongues. So now, he sat down a congregation like this, mostly of Bazungu. Then, there was a black man who wanted, a son of a slave, who wanted very badly to learn how to speak in tongues. But they could not accept him in the hall. So as a way of courtesy, of being generous, they told him to sit in the corridor, and they left the door open for him to hear. So this man, he was called William Seymour. He was even as if blind in one eye, half blind in one eye.
you go and look at him. He doesn't look pretty one bit. Even if God was to choose a black, there are better blacks than William Seymour. Now, William Seymour came. You imagine, they cannot even let you in the hall where they're talking about speaking in tongues. They put you in a corridor and they say, well, as a way of courtesy, we'll let leave the door open so that you can hear. So the man sat on a bench outside and listened to this paham. So he had listened a bit. Then he decided he had had enough. Then he went to California in a place called Azusa Street. And then he was baptized in the Spirit and started the Pentecostal movement. That black man. And now God uses it to just mess people up. So many people missed out on the move of God because they were offended that how can he use a black man when they are white people. And God says, I am God, I will choose whom I want to use. But those who did not look at his skin color, they received something powerful. One of them was a man called John G. Lake, who traveled from South Africa. People traveled from across the world, China and what, just to go and be in the presence of that black man who is half blind in one eye, praying in tongues. People would just come in. It was called the Azusa Street Revival. People would just walk in and they would pray in tongues. Those who would come in not praying in tongues would just get baptized. And the power of God was so strong in that place that people, of course, would come. Some would spend some days and then they get baptized and, you know, then they go to different parts of the world, all of them. But, and actually at some stage, they called the neighbors, called the fire brigade, saying the house is on fire. But it wasn't. The people were there praying in tongues. It was in fire of the Spirit. But they were actually seeing flames outside. A black man. And God just says, okay, let me mess you up. Because I don't know if you understand how in 1900, how a black man in America, don't forget that they were even allowed to vote in the 1960s. Just to vote in the 1960s. So that is almost 60 years before they were even allowed to vote. But God says, now this is the guy I'm going to use. Now, the thing spread across the world. Now, the other Muzungu man who left him in the what? In the corridor, now became very jealous. He would go and even pay newspapers to say, I'm the one who started the revival, not that black man. And he was paying newspapers and doing what? And traveling all over the place. He came there, tried to mess. They had some kind of magazine, which they would post out, a newsletter, which they would post out. And it was the one which was causing people to come. So this man went and got the mailing list, stole the mailing list, the Muzungu man, and frustrated the newsletter. And he spent all his life trying to prove to people that he's the one who started it. And the other man was doing nothing for him, he was just praying in tongues. And people were coming, getting filled, going. And that's how this whole Pentecostal movement started. Now, the reason I'm saying that is to show you that God loves to mess people up by getting the things people despise the most and saying, I'm going to use that. Now, why? So that you receive it by faith. Because if it comes through somebody who is accomplished and in gandulas and what, there is no faith involved. But if it comes through fishermen, then it has to be faith. Imagine you find a whole established system set by Moses of the law. People study. Then you come and choose fishermen, and after some time, the whole streets of Jerusalem are full of sick people waiting for fishermen. And God is in heaven laughing at the Pharisees, because he has messed them up. Now, that is the whole principle. By the way, that is the whole thing. Now, for you to actually understand what this period is for us, you have to know that God has always done that. Not what I've just given you a few examples. Okay, I'll give you one more from the scriptures. Imagine a boy so insignificant that even his own father says they are finished. Is this all? Yeah, that's all. They are finished. Then the prophet says, no, they are not finished. They say, hey, there is a young boy who looks after the sheep. Your father, your own father. Do you understand? Eh? Then the prophet says, we are not going to sit down until he comes. So now, and I want you to know that Samuel was like king. Okay? The Bible says when he came to Bethlehem, for that time, The elders of the city were trembling, and they ran to him and said, "Have you come peaceably?" Then he said, "Don't worry, I've just come to offer a sacrifice." So now he's a very powerful man. Then he says, "I'm not going to sit down until you bring that boy." Now even his father himself had said, "No, that's it, that's all." And God says, "Okay, now that's the one I will use. You know who I'm talking about." Praise the Lord. Now this is all over. So now, Queen of Katwe, Uganda, what? Uganda. Now, in the Holy Spirit, you go and check which Egypt gods of all those people now are putting on Egyptian insignia, what? Everybody. Now, the biggest, you go on Discovery Channel. They are Egyptologists. They will soon be Ugandologists. And they notice that there is something which is shifting in the what? In the spirit towards Africa. And it cannot be fought against. Now, what the devil does when he notices, of course, he cannot fight what God is doing, really. But what he does is he tries to create a counterfeit. So if God is doing something powerful here, yeah, he will create a counterfeit somewhere in their demonic world. But then he does not determine the seasons. The seasons are determined by God. Okay? He just comes and confuses and tries to confuse people. Anyhow, so when this, I'll tell you this. A few years ago, not a few, some years ago, when I first started hearing these things from you know who, they sound like very distant. Do you understand? They sound very distant. And you say, "Well, I mean, us, Uganda, what? How can this? How is this?" You know? As if you're saying that there must be some more worthy people than us. But then Christ has not yet been formed in you. Amen? Then you keep on listening to the same things. Then listening to the same things. Then listening to the same things. Then some things. Jesus said, "No, actually, maybe actually I'm Malako." Then now Christ is being what? Formed in you. But outwardly, there is nothing. You're still staying in the same, I hope not, but you know, people who are looking at you on the outward, there is absolutely nothing. But inside you, you are making distance. You are covering ground. Your capacity is being built. And God is going to fill the capacity that is. He could not fill the capacity that is not. Now the children of Israel, after 10, you know, he says in Numbers 13, that these 10 times you've rebelled against me. He says, "I gave you time because I knew you were slaves. So when you cried for water, I gave you water. When you cried for this, I gave it to you. You did this, I gave it to you. No complaints." Then he says, but now this is enough. Okay? Now, you should have, Christ should have been built in you. You should know that we are, when he sent them to the promised land, and they came back with a negative report. Now, the difference between Joshua and Caleb, and the rest of the others, is Joshua and Caleb actually had used the time in the wilderness. All of them were in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb had used the time in the wilderness for Christ to be formed in them. So that when they went and saw giants, they said, "No, these ones, they are like bread for us. If God is pleased with us, we'll just destroy them." Their protection has departed from them. And now, these are people for whom, now, outwardly, what's the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other 10? Nothing. Okay? But inwardly, Joshua and Caleb have made several strides in knowing that our God is supreme. He can do anything he wants to do through us. Amen? Now, he's not saying that God is going to do it through what? The way he destroyed Pharaoh. No, that's different. Now you have to get your sword and go and fight. Praise the Lord. Now you have to get your sword and go and fight. Because God has said now, Christ has got to have been formed in you. Now, you must go and do something. Step out there, go and take possession of that thing. Don't be there and think somebody is going to call and say, "Is this Joseph Kableta? Now you own this bank." That is rubbish. Christ, you're still a slave. Christ has not been what? Formed in you. If Christ is formed in you, you are going to go out and take steps to actually say, "How am I going to own this bank?" Now, 5 years ago, if somebody had told you can own that bank, you would say, "You're stupid, you're mad, get lost." But now you see, why not? Something is bubbling in you. But in those 5 years, you're still dressing even in the same suit. But somehow, a lot has shifted. You understand? Eh? You're like Joshua and Caleb. You're saying, no, these guys are meat, our bread. Giants, sons of Anak. But you're saying, these guys are our bread. Now, the other people in whom Christ has not been formed, for them, they are what? They are seeing giants. They are seeing we are incapable. We are seeing what? That's why God says, okay. Now for you, you will die in the wilderness. These ones will enter the promised land. Now, Caleb says, 40 years, you people are going to die. All those who are 20 years and above of the children of Israel who rebelled are going to die. But then Caleb, the minute that order goes out, he says he stopped aging. Everything stopped. He remained 40. 40 years later, he was still 40. He says, my strength has not been diminished. Because for him, God says now, I am not going to punish you with the punishment of the others. Because even if you enter the promised land when you're old and what, you still not enjoy it. And yet we have to wait for these jokers to die. Okay? So now what I'm going to do, put a speed governor in your what? In your years. So he entered the promised land at the time he would have entered it when they went to spy. In terms of health and strength and everything. Now, where people miss the whole thing is our involvement in it and how God depends on us, the children of Israel. Now, it says in the scripture, he says, do not rebel as the children of Israel. He says, I think in Psalms 107, do not rebel as in the days of disobedience. When they refuse to see God's thing, God is showing them that there's something I'm trying to build in you. Now, why would God come and tell people who are dwelling in tents and eating manna which falls every day? And he tells them, this is the law of the Lord your God. It shall come to pass that when you have built good houses and dwell in them, and when you plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and when your harvest is great, you are in a wilderness. There is no harvest. You're depending on things which fall from heaven. But God is trying to make Christ formed in you. You understand? Eh? And if your being there depends on you believing him. Okay, I know I'm here. I know there's nothing, absolutely nothing I have to suggest that. But God is speaking the things. You say, why doesn't he first wait until we get there? Then he tells us those things. Then you're going to die in the wilderness. You understand? Because you will not get there until he tells them to you and you receive them in your heart. And you adjust your heart and start seeing it like that. And then you're ready. Then your capacity to receive those things is built. You understand? Now I can tell you this. The capacity of some of you people, the things you wished you would have, let's say even 1 year ago, if you had them, they would destroy you. You understand? First of all, you not even believe it. You not, it's like, I don't know. Like, you imagine if one day you're there, and they tell you, by the way, there was a very rich man who died, who was a billionaire, and we've discovered you were his son. And they find you somewhere in Chisenyi. You don't have the capacity. And they say, now all this estate is yours. Guess what you'll do? The scripture says, a fool and his money soon part company. Soon go different ways. So now, is God going to come and manage the estate for you? Eh? No. So, he has to build, there has to be a building of capacity. That's what happened with Saul and David. I will give you an example. Saul, today he meets Samuel. He says, go down, walk down. The donkeys you're looking for, they found them. But anyway, you walk down, you meet prophets. Then when the prophets come, you start prophesying. Then what? Then immediately you become what? You see this? Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel. The counsel is the plan. This is the plan. Plan. You don't build, you can't have a house up and plan. You plan when there is nothing. You understand? There is not even a single brick, there is nothing. But you're planning. That is the council. This is where the bathroom is going to be, this is where this is going to be. But there is nothing. Now God comes and gives you his plan. And says, now here is the plan. We are starting from, the most despised thing. And we are going to dominate the whole what? The whole world. That is my plan. Now, you first have to believe that he is God, he can do anything he wants to do if you cooperate with him, just like Joshua and Caleb. But if you do not, he's powerless. He can't do anything. So then you say, okay, now I believe. But okay, give me some years. Let me first continue hearing what? This word. Then I will finally get to a place where I will believe you. Because it doesn't happen overnight. You understand? Eh? If you say it happened for you overnight, you're lying. So then you continue hearing words like these. Eh? Then you continue hearing. Then you start, something happens in you. And by the way, it does not happen in a way that you even notice. And you know the most powerful things happen when you don't notice? The things you believe the most are the things you got without somebody trying to convince you. You understand? And somebody will swear by them. And you tell them, where did you get it? Let's say somebody says, our girls of this tribe are the most beautiful. Has there been a scientific study? But once somehow it entered you and you're convinced. If somebody even complains, don't waste our time. For us, we know Banyankole, women are the most beautiful. Okay, I'm giving an example. Now, who told you? You understand? But you see, it entered you. Now, even these things of when something enters you through continuous hearing. Now, those things enter through continuous hearing. Maybe you had them in school, had what? Maybe you had, you know, certain things. Now, when you continually hear these words, they enter you and they get a place where they are uncontestable. You're absolutely sure about them. Completely sure about them. And now that's the place God wants you to be. Then he says, now that you know that this is our plan. Remember I told you, I no longer call you servants. I call you what? Friends. Because a servant does not know what master is planning. But for us, we know what God's end time plan is. Don't we? Give me some water. Now, so, here is what happens. So now when you refuse to listen to the counsel of God, and you say, but now you see, you see how disorganized this country is, you see how is this going to happen, how is what, and you fail to realize you're dealing with God, okay? And he has made his choice. And his choices throughout have always been underdogs. Praise the Lord. He has always chosen what? Always, not a single exception. So, your underdog status is actually what qualifies you. When you learn how God works, then you say, okay, now I know I am going to be great. Because nobody thinks I'm going to be. So when I am, then everybody will know it is God. It is not me. You understand? Now, this whole Pentecostal movement, which is started by black, do you know why Baptists rejected it? Because it was started by black man. Then they form a doctrine that tongues were for back then because of a color of skin. And then God says, okay, you be there with your pride. You know, up to now, Baptists believe it's not right for what? Blacks and whatever to intermarry. Those are Southern Baptists. And they say that what? They use a scripture. You know, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. They say that when Noah was gathering the animals, every animal went after its own kind. As if blacks and whites are different kinds of what? And they preach those things on pulpits, by the way. So now imagine God uses a black man and laughs and says, okay, take it or leave it. I am God. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. So I've chosen this one, take it or leave it. Praise the Lord. Those who took it caused revivals and are now having their great rewards in heaven. Those who are fighting to pay newspapers, possibly are in some chirasha somewhere. Praise the Lord. Now that's another, you know the thing is, the thing with being God is, you're God, you have nothing to prove to anybody. So you say, okay, Uganda. But why Uganda? At least Kenya. At least South Africa. Okay, honestly, if you were the one, wouldn't you rather choose South Africa? I say, leave South Africa. Uganda. Eh? Banana what? Eh. And God says, that's the one I want. That's the one I have chosen. And now, then, here is what happens. Now, when it starts in the church, by a revival in the church, it spreads and affects every area of, first of all, Jerusalem. Which Jerusalem is what? Uganda. You understand, eh? So it starts in the revival in the church, a lone voice like Abraham, who comes and then affects then the whole nation of faith. Now it affects the finances, it affects the politics, it affects the church and everything within the church. You understand? Eh? Then suddenly everybody looks and sees there's something different about this country. And that, these things don't happen like this, the way you want them to be. You know, you people, sometimes you, that's carnality. God does not do that. Why does God have to wait? Abraham, then Abraham grows old, then Isaac grows old, then Jacob, then he just came out to people and said, now this is the people I want. Well, he does not do things like that. But you see, in the few years that we've had this revival starting in this country, the honest truth is so much has changed. So much has changed, but not to some of your naked eyes. So you should dress them with a bit of spirit. Eh? Because from where I stand, I see everything has changed. I see a system, a financial system, a political system, a cultural system that is about to collapse. That's what I see. And it is going to collapse. And it is on the brink of collapsing. Now, when it collapses, now other people start looking at you and saying, what is so special? Now, let me tell you, the prosperity that will come when this thing is infused, it takes its time in the spirit. That's why I'm telling you, when I tell wealth transfer, it's coming. Just kakana. You just do what? Expand your what? Your capacity. Amen? Start seeing things the God way. Start seeing the whole plan of the end time. Now, then when that happens, all of that, then guess what happens? People start looking. Isaiah 60. Actually, I was praying the other day and the Lord gave me this thing again. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Then he says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Then the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So now God just gets this thing and says, okay, now, suddenly, very soon, by the way, you will see prosperity which you thought was not possible in this country. Amen? It's just waiting for the right people to be in charge. Then it is unleashed. Praise the Lord. Now, because if it is unleashed now, it will go into the jaws of thieves. Eh? But God is waiting for the right people, and then it's going to be... There are riches in this country which will astound people. I'm telling you. Now, when the right people are in charge, they will come. Now, everybody looks and says, what is so special about Uganda? Then one underdog stands out and is the dividing line. The stone which, what? The builders rejected. Because Jesus stands up and says, those who do what? Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Some of you, it is not marvelous. But for us, it is what? It will not be marvelous in everybody's eyes. Because they will say, why a black man with a blind eye? Eh? But God says for him, it's marvelous. So you have to say, now the people who received of that revival are those who said it is the Lord's doing, and it is what? Marvelous in our eyes. So now they are the ones who received. Those who said God should have come through a white man, now you see there is this, then God says, okay, relax, you'll be fine. Now go ahead. It says, the next scripture, it says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Now, what I wanted here to say, that those who hit on that stone, okay, it crushed some, and then somewhere it says, so that stone becomes the dividing line. Now, that stone is what? Eh? Is Uganda. It becomes the dividing line. Those who come and say, what is special? Then they say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Then those ones come on the side of the sheep. Then some come and say, gay rights over what? Over what? Then those go on the side of the what? Of the goats. Now, within a short period of time, the goats become broke. Even those who have been known to have wealth, they become very broke. And those who come on the side of the sheep become very wealthy. Because this is spiritual wealth. Now, these people say that, now, a time is coming when people will have to line up to get visas to come to this country. And not the other way around. Then they will come to the brightness of your rising. The reason I told you why God, this whole history is to show you that God has always used the least, the most despised thing. Always. Not a single exception. Not one. Always. What people despise is what he chooses. Because then you receive it by faith. Praise the Lord. So if you think this nation of ours is despised, we are this, we are that. And you see, sometimes you can be tempted to see that. Even when you go to the, you know, neighboring countries like Kenya, you see a city, you see organization. Okay, it's not the best, but at least you see people who are. Then you come to Kampala and you see and you look. But then you say, that's why God chose Uganda. He did not choose Uganda in spite of our confusion. He chose us because of our confusion. Because then when we turn out well, the glory goes to who? Yes. Nobody can say that, we saw Uganda had potential. What? No. You remove newspapers and you saw, no, you did not even put us among those who are serious. So the glory goes to who? To God. That's how it is. Now, that is the plan. Mubufunze. Eh? Do you understand what we are talking about? Now, your role is to be a Joshua and Caleb. And let Christ be formed in you. Don't look at the circumstances surrounding you. God has, when God chooses, he's God. You understand? He's God. He can do anything he wants. He can choose anybody he wants. So, don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the history. Don't look at anything. Even your own circumstances. Even your own nothing. You just say, God has chosen me. That's it. And he has chosen. And now, then you get, let these words build something in you and you start seeing big things. Eh? Big things. There was a guy I know, just one year. Actually, I was even talking to him the other day. Not even 1 year ago. His plan was to do what? Supply some product in, if I told you the product, you know whom I'm talking about. In some supermarkets here in Kampala. And that was Prosperity. But now the other day, I was talking to him and he's saying, now, you know, we want to supply the whole of Africa and what? And all this. Now, outwardly, very little has changed. He actually still brings a seed of 20K. But inwardly, the capacity has expanded. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? Yes. Now, if you look at the outward, then you've lost everything. So God is doing something in you. Eh? Christ is being formed in you. Even as we speak right now. So don't look at anything that is here. No, don't. Like, look at the people whom you once were at par with. Whom you were thinking the same with. Look at how they are thinking right now. Look at the difference between what you believe and what they believe. Go and talk to them, some of you, just as a matter of challenge. Go and talk to them. Now you can see that you can dominate the whole world from Uganda, from Kampala, Uganda. Kampala, Uganda. And from here, people find you here. Amen? They find you here. Then you don't go there. You don't go to them. They remember the Bible says, they will come to the bright. Now, if you are tempted to go, unless of course by, you know, spreading this revolution, but if you're tempted to go for Cheyo, then you've missed the game plan. It says you be here, they will find you here. Your greatness is not told by where you go. It's told by who comes to you. That's why God tells Jeremiah, don't go to them. Let them come to you. That's in Jeremiah, what? 15 or somewhere. Says, let them what? Don't go to them. Let them come to you. So don't try to prove anything to anybody. If God has chosen you, he is God. Amen? You imagine God says, okay, you are the one. Like David. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. Now this is God telling who? Jeremiah. You sit here. They are trying to, because people try to undermine you by saying, okay, we understand, okay, you come. No, you come. If you are not coming, I'm not coming. Amen? They will come to the brightness of your what? Your rising. So they start calling you. And you see, people don't understand simple things like those. So they say, African president called to the White House. Then they are all there taking selfies with Obama. I can guarantee you, if I was one of them, I would not go for such a meeting. I can guarantee you that. He would have to come to me. Because God, who made heaven and earth, chose us. Not him, us. Praise the Lord. They will come here. I am telling you, I am telling you. Now, there are certain things which you have to first affirm them before they happen. Otherwise, you also start running around. So they have called all African presidents, then also board your private jet and go there. Has God chosen any other nation for the end time? No, he has chosen us. Us. And I know that for a fact. And it has been affirmed. Praise the Lord. So now you have to also start getting what? That spirit of these people are bred. Their protection has departed from them. We are the ones who God has chosen. Imagine God is telling Israel, I want you to be a nation above every nation. Like his plan is that you are going to be so great that everybody looks and says, what is so special about those people? Then they say, their God is God. Okay? Then the Israelites, they say, for us we are giants, what? Then God says, okay, you have frustrated my purpose. Now even David, after the anointing, he's anointed and what? No, he does not sit. He has to go and fight Goliath. So if you fail to understand the plan of God and your involvement, you're going to stay there, stagnate. David is anointed. Yeah, but there's a Goliath ahead. But you see, sometimes God preserves people away from what? From systems of the world. So that when they come, for them they are in a different reality. Imagine David coming from the sheep, finding generals. If he had stayed among them for 3 days, he would also be running away from Goliath. Because you get involved in a system and you actually start respecting it. You understand? But God says, you leave him alone. Let him go and look after the sheep. Now, he comes and finds generals and what? Then he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is what? Now, they are looking at him, he's looking at them. They are in different realities. For him, he's saying, how can an uncircumcised Philistine defile the armies of Israel? Are you people kidding me? No problem, let me go and fight the man. Then they say, who do you think you are? He says, I don't know who I am, but me, I'm good. Then he goes. Now, if he stays there for some time, he actually gets carried away with their reality. And you understand? But God shields him away from it. Then he comes in his own world completely. Now, some of us have been shielded by God for certain moments. So that when you show up, the things you're saying, people are saying, do you know who we are talking about? Even the king says, "This, you are just a youth. This man has been a man of war from his youth." Then David says, don't tell me. You even block your ears. I don't want to hear. You're going to corrupt what I know. So he goes, and he's in a totally different world. Totally different world. Now, thank God that he has shielded you for this time. You'd wish that he had exposed you, but he knows what he's doing. Because when you finally stand out there, you look at people and they tell you, no. You know, how can you do something like that? How can you write that the president is a thief? Me, I don't know. I've been looking after sheep. Me, I've been doing what? I don't know those things. Me, I've just come from looking after my sheep, and I do what I want to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, now you know God's plan. Are you happy? Me, I'm happy. I am happy. So if you ever feel like an underdog, know that's your qualification. Feel like an underdog, you say, that's why. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, pray in tongues a bit. Let me, you know, I want you, Christ, to be, you know, formed in your heart right now. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus because you have chosen us. We thank you because you have chosen us. Somebody say, you have chosen me.
You have chosen me.
Say, I am the chosen one.
I am the chosen one.
You've chosen me.
You've chosen me.
Say it again, you've chosen me.
You've chosen me.
For this special moment.
For this special moment.
You've chosen me.
You've chosen me.
Because it is your doing. And it is marvelous in my eyes. Because everything you do is marvelous in my eyes. Now say, Father,
from this day
I will receive your counsel.
I will receive your counsel.
And I will let Christ be formed in me.
And
your plan will dominate my mind.
And your plan will dominate my mind.
And I will know what you're doing.
And I will know what you're doing.
Because I'm no longer a servant.
Because I am
a friend.
And
you've told me everything.
And
now I know the game plan. And I know where I stand in the game plan. And I will stand there
and
accomplish my purpose.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We will go for you. That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.